This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
You bet. Welcome in. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. And the countdown is officially on for Super Bowl 58 at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Will Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs repeat as Super Bowl champions? The 49ers are actually the odds maker favorite to hoist the trophy, which on some level is a bit surprising considering the Chiefs' track record during the Mahomes and Andy Reid era. We've got you covered over the next 2 hours. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And no doubt, it is going to be an amazing Super Bowl. But first, the Big E Sports Show, we are powered by Progressive Insurance. And did you know that drivers who switch and save with Progressive, they save nearly $700 on average? Go to Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We are always thrilled to have back with us, leading off and kicking off our program from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, and that is James Hale. And James, all I got to say is, first and foremost, we usually kick off our program with you talking some college football news and notes, but I'm going to lead off with this stat. There's only one college with six alumni playing in this year's Super Bowl, and that is Oklahoma. So what's your level of excitement for Super Bowl 58?
It's good, you know, and it's always good to be on with you. I'd rather be on television. I can at least see you. But the way it is.
Oh, thanks.
We'll do it this way, and I appreciate you having me on. That's the second straight year OU's had six players in the Super Bowl. OU has sent a lot of players. They haven't sent the most. We know Alabama has. But the players that the Sooners do have in the National Football League are elite. They're electric. They're great. Trent Williams is the best tackle in football. If it's not Trent, it's Lane Johnson, who, you know, plays for the Eagles. He is really, really good, too, but Trent is the mantra that everybody tries to do and everybody tries to emulate when it comes to playing in the offensive line. And he's spectacular. The other guys that are in this, Creed Humphrey has become one of the top centers in pro football. Creed was a two-year starter. I only played 3 years of football at OU because he was just that good. And he even redshirted his freshman year, so that's how incredible he is. But he's going to play 10 or 15 years in the National Football League. He's one of the best centers. Blake Bell will always go down as a hero in their youth, for the Belldozer. And, when you bring up the Belldozer to anybody that covers Kansas City, they don't even know what it is. It's kind of like Adrian Peterson when they call him AP, mm-hmm. and I always correct all the pro guys and go, it's AD.
Yeah.
It's all day. What do you mean it's all day? His name's Adrian Peterson. Well, I know, but that's not what his name is. It's his nickname is All Day. It's AD. Just call him AP anyway. And Adrian even has said he's tried to tell the NFL media what it is, and they just look at him and come right back and call him AP. So anyway, you kind of have that. That's the way it's going, you know. So, you have these six guys that are playing, and it's a great thing for OU. It's something Brent Venables can recruit with. The Sooners do use it in recruiting, that we're going to get you ready. You're going to have a great career at OU. You're going to get an education. You're going to have a God-fearing football experience at OU, and we're going to get you ready for the NFL. And for the most part, they do, and those guys have a great career there.
Hey, he is back from CBS Sports Radio Network in OKC, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5. Check him out, 105.3 FM, and that is James Hale. Give him a follow on X, at JHale24, and connect with our audience. Tell them all about Patreon. Good stuff on there, Jay.
Well, Patreon is, I do a 3 to 5 short podcast every day, and it's short. Yeah, I mean, it's 2 to 5 minutes on them. A lot of people like to do 3-hour podcasts. We don't do that. I don't. I have a 3-hour talk show every day, so I want to keep them short, but I jam-pack them with the information that if you're a Sooner fan, you're looking for it. If you like recruiting, that's what you're going to get. You're looking for that. And all you got to do is go to Die Hard Sooner Report by James Hale or Patreon Die Hard Sooner Report, and it's a small token, and you are rocking for as long as you want to do it.
Yeah. Chiefs 49ers, Super Bowl 58, and it is a rematch of Super Bowl 54. Got to ask you, Jay, I mean, did you believe these would be the last two teams still standing?
No, I really think I thought Baltimore was going to break through, and I thought Lamar Jackson was going to break through. He didn't. The greatness of Patrick Mahomes, we take for granted. And, you know, you just can't, because he does things not every quarterback can do. But now we're always looking for the next Patrick Mahomes, right? So when we see a college quarterback and he makes a sidearm throw, or, you know, he lobs it over the middle, or, you know, basketballs it to the right, jump shots it, he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, and that's what we're looking for. And this was not a vintage Kansas City team. They've lost, you know, receivers over the last 2 years. They're going to have to reload. But, you know, Rice has come through at receiver for them, and he's a rookie. And, of course, Kelce is as good as it gets as the tight end. So, you know, they've been able to make it work. I think Piccolo is a tremendous running back. And, of course, Patrick's a pretty good runner himself when he wants to get out there. And Patrick does utilize everybody in his offense. And so even players I haven't named, he will get the ball to them, and he's that good. But I thought Baltimore was going to break through. Lamar didn't play well in the playoffs again. That's something that he has to elevate his game and has to get to be able to do that. So, you know, but I thought San Francisco would. I thought they were the best team all year. I thought that, you know, even when Debo got hurt, you know, I thought that they would get it together, and everybody picks on Brock Purdy. I pick on him, too. You know, I hated him at Iowa State. He was the quarterback of the Cyclones, and they had a pretty good team. They had four guys that all got drafted, right? So they had elite guys playing for him, and Brock was just that, you know, that, yeah, he just looked like he's 3 years old, and he played so well.
Uh-huh.
But he'd always have a turnover or something, you know, and then he's the last player picked in the draft. I said, it couldn't happen to a better guy.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, if I probably got to know Brock a little bit better, I would probably like him a lot. He seems like he's a real good guy. He's a good Christian guy, you know, and he's a really good quarterback. He's a better quarterback in the NFL than he was at Iowa State, and that's the way it should be. You should get better. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, when he and Baker had that game in 2016, that was the game for the ages in college football, we kind of knew that Baker and Patrick were going to be pretty good in the NFL, right? And they have been. Now, Patrick has been all world, maybe the best ever, you can argue that. Baker is still trying to establish himself. Maybe he did this year with Tampa Bay. He certainly looked like he did. And I'd love to see what Baker can do. If he can get settled in with the same coach now, he's already lost his offensive coordinator at Tampa Bay, so they've got to find another one. But at least it's the same head coach, and I'm sure the head coach will try to find an offensive coordinator that's running what they're running at Tampa Bay. So it's going to be a great game. But, yes, Kansas City, I thought Baltimore was going to win, but I did think San Francisco was going to get there.
CBS Sports Radio Network in OKC. James Hale with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And I want to back up. I want to talk some more, actually, about Brock Purdy. He is not the biggest guy. He doesn't have the biggest arm. You might say that he does have the biggest heart, but it seems like there's been a lot of criticism. What is this all about? I mean, it seems like people are not celebrating this young man, and there is some professional jealousy because some of the comments by Cam Newton on his podcast this past week.
I love Cam's outfits, don't you? I mean, you know, I couldn't wear that. I don't have the body style for it, but Cam can wear it. It's
right.
Kind of like Russell Westbrook when he walks into the game, you know, he's got his clothes on. And I'm thinking, I would like to wear that, but fat guys can't wear that. So anyway, you know, but maybe the hat or something like that I could work with, you know. But, you know, Cam, it's almost like Cam's jealous, and I like Cam a lot. Mm-hmm. I got along with Cam really well when he was in high school and in college and junior college. And I just don't understand, but he just doesn't like him. He doesn't like him as a player, doesn't like him as a quarterback. He insists that he's a program manager, that he's not an influential quarterback. He's not a guy that can win a game for him. He even said the other day he's the 10th best player on San Francisco's team. And he may be. San Francisco's really good. They're loaded with great talent. That doesn't mean he's not an elite quarterback, though. And he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League. He's proven it over the last 2 years, no matter what you think of him. And, yes, he's got a great team. But did Joe Montana have a good team when he was quarterback in San Francisco? And we think Joe's one of the greatest ever. And, you know, Joe, you know, I've heard Joe talk about Brock. He thinks he's a really good player. And he goes, was I a game manager? Was I a program manager? You know, he goes, I don't know. He goes, I just made sure I got the ball to Taylor, you know, to Jerry Rice, to Roger Craig, to Jones, my tight end. He goes, I didn't ever, you know. He goes, yeah, you know, I had great stats and everything, but I was just trying to get the ball to the playmakers. Well, what's Brock doing? That's what he's doing. And I don't understand all the angst because he's playing pretty well. I know that he had trouble throwing a wet football, which shocked me, didn't it, you? I mean, you go to Iowa State, don't you learn how to play in snow,
sure,
wind, rain, and everything? I was a little surprised he struggled so much throwing a wet football, but he's got him there, man. And he, you know, he's got a great chance to win this game. So, you know, but this is why I favor Kansas City in the game, because I just think that Mahomes is a lot better, and Brock's really good, but I think Mahomes is a lot better. Mahomes is the quarterback advantage in just about every game. Even against Lamar Jackson, he was the quarterback advantage, right? So it's hard to beat Patrick Mahomes in situations like these.
Hey, we're going to step aside. Much more coming your way with James Hale after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour 1 Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to continue to get you ready for Super Bowl 58 with CBS Sports Radio Network, James Hale.
Well, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs because they have been to the Super Bowl 5 times before 2024, and they're aiming to win back-to-back titles. You know, here in the Big 12 Conference, I mean, you covered so many of the quarterbacks. What do you remember about Mahomes and his time at Texas Tech? And did you ever anticipate that he would have this incredible level of success? I mean, some are saying that he's going to be the GOAT eventually.
Well, you know, when Baker and him hooked up in that game, the lead up to that game was interesting because Lincoln Riley's the offensive coordinator at OU, and Lincoln had been at Texas Tech, right? So, you know, they knew about Patrick Mahomes, and Baker is having this all-world year at Oklahoma. And so we didn't know what to expect. We just knew it was going to be fireworks, right? Lord have mercy. 1,276 yards of total offense?
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in. 1,276 yards. Baker throws for 5 touchdowns and 536 yards, I believe. Patrick Mahomes throws for 725 and 7 touchdowns and loses the game. I mean, he wasn't on as good a team. He needed to do that. I think he threw 73 passes in the game. Baker threw 56. So after that game, yeah, I thought he was going to be really good in the National Football League, and I thought Baker was too. And I think, you know, and it just shows you got to have the luck of the draftee when you get picked to go to the National Football League. Baker goes to Cleveland as the number one pick, so he got that money, but he goes to a lousy organization that at that time they had 4 head coaches during Baker's time and 5 offensive coordinators, and it just, blew up his development. I mean, he just couldn't get settled in. Mahomes goes to Andy Reid in Kansas City. They drafted him, 17th in the first round, I think, or something like that?
Yeah.
And he goes there, and he gets to play behind Alex Smith for 17 games. And then he plays the final game and gets his feet wet. They see what they're going to see. They decide to go with Mahomes. But that allowed him for 16 games through training camp every day to learn from Smith, and it just was a different deal. And he's had Reed the entire time. He had Bieniemy most of the time, and it's been a different mindset in terms of development, and Mahomes has benefited from it, and Baker hasn't. But, he was spectacular at Texas Tech, and he was doing some of these things that he does now in the National Football League, but He's taken it to another level in the National Football League. He's just that spectacular.
Patrick Mahomes will make his fourth Super Bowl start in Las Vegas, the most of any quarterback before the age of 30. He has 14 playoff wins, tied for third most by any quarterback. Your perception of him, talk a little bit about that as far as, I mean, some are saying that, you know, perhaps he's going to be the GOAT if he's not already in his sport. I mean, just kind of quantify where he's at this point in his career.
Well, he's one of them, right? I mean, do you like Montana better than him? Do you like Aaron Rodgers better than him? Do you, you know, like Dan Marino better than him? Do you like Joe Namath better than him? Do you like, you know, I don't know, you know. I mean, he is as good as Terry Bradshaw. You know, who else? You know, Troy Aikman. You know, you could argue he's the best of all time. He's certainly in the argument. The thing is, he's got a lot more football to play.
Right.
He's going to get, what, two more contracts, maybe three more contracts? He and his wife are going to have so much money, maybe they'll buy the Red Sox. You have them start buying players again. You know, so then they buy a soccer team or something, or a women's, you know, basketball team or something. I know they've invested in some sports team, you know, and I'm all into the Taylor Swift thing, too. I think she's great. If she likes Kelsey, that's fantastic. And they proved to me they liked each other. You don't walk down on the field where everybody's going to see you and start smooching with your guy if you don't like him. Even you wouldn't do that. So unless you like the guy, you know what I mean? You know, I know you and your husband do that sometimes on the golf course, you know. And so, but you like the guy, you know what I mean? So I'm all with you, you know. So it's good. Everybody needs to get off her case.
Hey, James Hale with us, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. You got to check him out, 105.3, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5. At CBS Sports Radio. A couple more questions. Hey, I was in Norman this past week. I had a chance to catch up with you, and you had just mentioned just a moment ago talking about women's basketball, and how about that big-time win for Jenny Borancic and the Sooner women as they beat the second-ranked team in the country, and that's the Kansas State Wildcats. What were some of your top takeaways from the Sooners' victory at the LNC? Let's go.
I mean, you were there in the arena, and you didn't go suit up? They need a center. come on, E. You know, you'd have been the tallest player on the team.
Hey, Skylar was backing him in down low. I love watching her. She's a lot of fun to watch.
She was. And she's 6 foot tall, but, you know, she's really strong in the lower body, and she can do that. And the Sooners do have a 6'4", and they do have a 6'3". Kansas State didn't have a Yoki Lee, and she may be the best player in the country. I don't think she is. I mean, you know, Caitlin Clark obviously is, but the young lady from LSU. You know, so, you know, but she is a great player, and she didn't play. She's 6'7". She only dropped 61 against the Sooners 2 years ago. And so OU knows how good she is. And earlier this year, she had 20 and 10. But you play when you play, and she didn't play. And OU, when they haven't had Lee, OU's beaten Kansas State three times. So Lee is the difference maker in these two teams. But OU won this one. It was a big win for the first time since 2004. They beat a team that was ranked second in the country. And OU is 8-1 in the Big 12 Conference. They traveled to Oklahoma State to play Bedlam, and that's going to be the last Bedlam for a while, even though I think in women's basketball these two teams are going to keep playing at least one game every year. I could be wrong, but it's easy to do, and it's an easy drive for both teams, and I don't see why they won't. I think they will in men's basketball too, but, you know, we'll see. But with the Sooners in Texas going into the SEC, but this women's basketball team, Jenny Borancic has them going. She runs a similar offense that Sherry does, but there's even more freedom to it. There's even more movement to it. And the players, you have to kind of learn it. You have to get a feel for it. You have to get a feel for the cuts in it. But if you do, I mean, against Texas the other day, a really good defensive team on the road, the Sooners scored 91.
Wow.
And that was so impressive. And that was one of the best offensive performances I've seen out of OU in a long, long time. That reminded me back in the days when Whitney Hand was playing and the Paris Twins, D-Rod, Amanda Thompson's on the team, and, you know, and that was a really good performance. But Kansas State's really good. Baylor and Texas played last night. That was a fun basketball game. You know, those four teams, Kansas is pretty good. So, you know, you're going to have five or six of these teams in the NCAA tournament, maybe seven. And it's a good league for women's basketball.
Head coach Jeff Mitty, Kansas State has done just a remarkable job. I remember his days in Fort Worth at TCU. But what has changed for the Sooner women's basketball team? Because in the month of December, they struggled. They lost 4 of 5. What happened?
Well, they don't shoot well. And they still didn't shoot well against Kansas State. They, you know, made, what, 40% or 44% On the year, they're shooting 40%. If they just shoot 45%, OU can be really dangerous. Against Texas, they shot 47, and they scored 91 points. So they just can't shoot. When they lost to Southern, they scored 2 points in the fourth quarter. Skylar Vann got hurt in the fourth quarter, and the team panicked, and they just didn't know what to do. You know, last year they had Maddie Williams and they had Taylor Robinson, the best three-point shooter in the history of basketball. Taylor Robinson played for OU last year, and they had Anna LaLusa. And those are three players that can get you 20 any night, and a lot of times all three of them got you 20. And when they graduated, that's a lot to lose. Skylar was still here, but she was never the main player like she is this year. So it's been a big adjustment, and it's taken them some time. At Tennessee, Peyton Verhulst rolls her ankle, or OU's probably going to win that game on the road. And, you know, they've lost 5 out of 6. Then you lose to Southern, who had lost 92 games to D1 basketball teams, 92 straight games, and it was a terrible loss. But for all intents and purposes, they've hung in there, and they're a lot better defensive team than they were last year. A lot of that has to do with Lexi Keys, who transferred in from OSU after playing 3 years at OSU.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of things, you know, and she's a really good defensive player. When she was at OSU, I always thought she was the best. Now the best has come to OU, and it's okay, you know what I mean? She's changed the dynamic of defense. And then, again, Jenny teaches what I would consider is a WNBA way of playing defense with help defense, and there's principles in it, and you've got to know what you're doing, and you get off your player if she's not a great scorer and go double-team the really good scorer, then race back to your player, or the other player players down, and you race across court to the other one. Yeah. You're playing team defense, and it's taken them a while to get it, but now they're getting it. Well, they're one of the top three defensive teams in the league, and they shut down Kansas State without lead last night, or the other night. And that was an impressive game for Oklahoma, the way they played. So that's the difference. They're still not shooting the ball well. When they do, they're dynamic. But they're playing great defense every game. Defense travels, and it gives them a chance to win every game they play. Mm-hmm.
James Hale, legendary radio host of Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio in Oklahoma City. Check him out, patreon.com, and give him a follow on X at jhale24. Have a great weekend, and we look forward to Super Bowl 58. Thank you, Jay.
Hey, thanks, E. Have a great day, and don't eat too much chip and dip now.
Okay. Hey, stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1 at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Always love to connect with our national audience live on social media at X at eRadio Sports. You can email the show info@eradiosports.com. Podcast Arena, twice is nice. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our guests and take us anywhere, anytime. Download our app for all the latest sporting news. That is Sports Map Radio. And we are powered by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. And perhaps you're looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Well, one final showdown in Las Vegas as we look forward to Super Bowl 58. We are delighted to open up our mic and welcome in one of the rising stars in our business, and that is our very own Luke Mario. Check him out, host of Mario on the Mic. Good to have you back with us.
Yeah, good to be here.
Well, the 2024 Super Bowl odds have the NFC champion 49ers as this year's favorite. What say you? I mean, you agree or disagree?
I was surprised. I do think if I had to pick today, I would go with the Chiefs, and so therefore I guess I'd say I disagree. But it's just hard to go against Patrick Mahomes, and that's the reason why. And they've tried this already the last couple weeks. He was an underdog against the Bills and won outright. He was an underdog against the Ravens and won outright. And so I was surprised to see the Chiefs open as an underdog again against San Francisco, especially this time on a neutral field as opposed to being on the road. And as I said, for me, it's as simple as just being unable to doubt Patrick Mahomes. And in his career, He's been an underdog now 12 times, and from a betting perspective, only once in those 12 games did he not cover the spread as an underdog. And when you look at this number, the Niners are favored by 2, which means that they would either win by 1 or not win at all, and the chances of the Niners winning by 1 or any team winning by 1 are pretty slim. It's less than 5%. So my point being, history tells you Patrick Mahomes, typically as an underdog, does pretty well, usually wins these types of games, and for that reason alone, it's hard for me to doubt him on the biggest stage.
Well, Luke, you've got a lot of trust in Patrick Mahomes. Let's step back for a minute and just, how would you summarize how his season played out? Because when we look at the Chiefs, there were a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah, there sure were. And that's what's interesting about these two teams getting here. I mean, they dealt with some adversity. And just to take it in a different direction for a moment, you know, when the Chiefs played the Ravens on Sunday, the Ravens trailed in games the least amount for any team in 25 years. And when they fell behind Sunday, it almost seemed like they didn't know what to do when they were actually trailing in a game. And so I bring that up because on the flip side, the Chiefs, the 49ers, even though they had good seasons, they still dealt with plenty of adversity throughout the year. And I think that's what's needed for these teams in order to get to this level and to go win a Super Bowl. And so for the Chiefs, it was a bit of an up and down season. But I think offensively, they've kind of kicked it into high gear here late in the year. Travis Kelce looked like a guy who was about to retire in December. And now suddenly in the playoffs, he's been excellent. And Patrick Mahomes, after that win against the Ravens, said, you know, I'm just a game manager. I just don't want to screw it up because they do have a good defense and they're able to make enough plays on offense. So even though Mahomes posted the lowest quarterback rating of his career this year and the offense wasn't that prolific, it's still a smart offense. And at times that's even what Tom Brady would do, where he had the pieces around him, just don't screw it up. And you'd see guys like Peyton Manning throw 3 interceptions in a big game. Lamar Jackson had a big interception on Sunday. You know, Josh Allen in the past has made big mistakes. And as long as you don't make the mistakes, chances are the other team's probably going to screw up instead. And so Mahomes has been able to do that, where he doesn't push the ball downfield. He doesn't take chances when he doesn't have to, and instead, you know, is making the smart plays. So are his numbers as good? No, but sometimes that's all you need to do to win, and the Chiefs have found a way to win here in recent weeks.
Luke Mario, our very special guest here at Sports Map Radio. A lot of confidence that Patrick Mahomes will pick up his third Super Bowl win. Talking about Kelce, what do you think about this whole thing? And Taylor Swift's been a little bit of a distraction, or has it?
I thought so at one time. I mean, he spent the bye week going to, I don't remember where it was, Brazil or some
that's
country.
That's right, he did, yes.
And then he came back the next week. I think they lost the very next game. And it was like, man, you know, that's hard because they had played overseas the week prior. So he went international back-to-back weeks for flights, and it just seemed like a lot. Then they came back, and they lost the very next game. And it seemed like it was a distraction. He wasn't playing very well. But now, this time of year, I mean, he's been the best player on that Chiefs offense here in the playoffs. He's looked like a classic Travis Kelce, and maybe Taylor Swift provides the inspiration he needs. So, you know, more power to him. So I know a lot of people are upset with the attention that Taylor gets, but we'll see what happens with the Super Bowl. I mean, there's speculation of some sort of proposal if the Chiefs win, but I will say Kelce certainly has turned it on in the playoffs. He's playing well for whatever reason and certainly does not seem like a guy who's distracted right now.
Okay, so we hit on the Chiefs. Let's talk some Brock Purdy. I mean, a sincere, just deep appreciation for what he has been able to accomplish in year 2 as a starter. So why has he not been fully embraced?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it comes down to draft stock. I mean, we just, you know, it's hard to beat a first impression. In a company, if a guy starts in the mailroom and then works his way up to the corner office, a lot of people still look at him as the mail guy. And it's just when you first get to know somebody or meet somebody, that's typically the impression you form, and we don't really come off of that. And so when you look at the NFL, Brock Purdy was drafted last in the draft, obviously. And I think we put too much stock in those draft picks. Like, the reason Trey Lance is still in the league really is solely because he was a top 3 pick. The reason why Zach Wilson is still in the league and actually started games this past year was because he was the number 2 pick in the draft. And we always give those guys more chances just solely because of where they were drafted. But sometimes the drafters are wrong, and maybe they were wrong about Brock Purdy, or maybe this is just the perfect fit for him in San Francisco. But he obviously plays a lot better than that quote-unquote Mr. Irrelevant, and if he were to win the Super Bowl, he'd be just the second quarterback last 40 years to not be drafted in the first 6 rounds to win a Super Bowl. And I do think he deserves a lot of credit, but it's the expectations of Mr. Irrelevant not being this good. And also, I think there's also some jealousy of he's surrounded by all the pieces that he doesn't have to work as hard, and maybe fans of other teams wish they had a setup like that.
You're talking about Cam Newton.
Yeah, right. I think Cam Newton's a little envious. He wishes he probably was in
professional
a position like
jealousy
that.
That's what we call it.
Absolutely. So, but I think anybody can relate that we all wish our jobs were easier, or your upbringing might have been easier, whatever it is. So we should appreciate that Brock Purdy's in a good situation, because that's typically what you want for people.
So do you think Brock Purdy's validation is dependent on how he performs in the Super Bowl?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, I think so for if we're being realistic. But I think the people that already don't like Brock Purdy already have their minds made up. And if he's going to win the Super Bowl, they'll just say, well, he only won because of Christian McCaffrey or the defense or whatever it might be. I mean, you look at what Purdy's done these last 2 weeks. He's led this team back in the second half. They were down 17 against Detroit, and he led them back. And I think he had only 3 incompletions in that second half, something like that. He had 50 rushing yards. He made big plays. And still, people are saying, oh, it's because of this guy or that guy. So, you know, we're just we're stubborn people. So if you're not a Brock Purdy fan, I don't think you change your mind, even if he wins the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And if you are a Brock Purdy fan, you're obviously not going to change your mind. That's just going to further instill what you believe in him if he wins the Super Bowl. So I don't think it changes anything, really, for most people.
Okay, Luke, so what's your level of excitement for this year's Super Bowl? And do you go into fan mode when you're watching the game, or are you journalistic? Do you have an adult beverage in your hand? I mean, how do you take in the game?
Yeah, I do, but still, in recent years...
Do you take notes?
Yes, I do. So that's what I was going to say. In recent years, like growing up, it was always Super Bowl parties. You get with friends. But in recent years, I do have to say, typically, I'm just home alone. It's kind of boring. I watch it by myself because I want to focus in. And not only that, but also the commercials, you know, the halftime show, everything, the whole spectacle. Because when you go to a Super Bowl party, you're socializing and you're talking to people and you miss things. So, yeah, in recent years, I've really zeroed in on the game. I'm very excited. I mean, when these two teams met up a few years ago, it was a great game. And back in the day, the Super Bowls were mostly blowouts, but we've been really lucky the last about 20 years that most of these Super Bowls have been really good games, and I think we get it again this year. I mean, there's a reason why the point spread is only 2. I think it will be a close game, a good game, and when you think back to when these two teams met last time, I mean, not to put a negative spin on it, but it was right before a pandemic, and people at the time were
so
actually...
So true, yes.
That was the start mm-hmm. of it. So my point being, hopefully 2024 goes better after this Super Bowl, but I think the game itself is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, so Luke, but will this be Patrick Mahomes' best run ever if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl?
So far, it would be the most impressive. I mean, to go on the road for the first time and also to do it with this offense. And it's not to say that they're completely depleted. They have a really good defense, good play caller. They have Travis Kelce. They can run the football. So he still has plenty of talent on the team. But this is the worst Chiefs team since Mahomes has gotten there. And it's the first time he's actually had to play on the road in the playoffs. So if he pulls this off, and he's an underdog in the Super Bowl. So if Mahomes wins this, it will be the best one so far. But I also think he's got more ahead of him as well that he can try to top this year.
Okay, we are set. We're ready for Super Bowl 58. The countdown is officially on. But let's take a look back. Your thoughts on just how the season played out for the Detroit Lions. I know Lion fans were so disappointed.
Yeah.
But they were so close.
They sure were. And that's a heartbreaking loss. But I think, you know, you sign up for that at the start of the year. And it was a historic year for the Lions. You know, they made their first conference championship in 30 years. They won the division for the first time in 30 years. They won double-digit games for the first time, or one of the few times in franchise history. So it was such a great year. And I think the biggest thing for the Lions is that they retained offensive coordinator Ben Johnson this week. If Ben Johnson had left, that really spells some trouble for the Lions moving forward. But with him coming back, you have faith that maybe the Lions can run this back next year. But they're going to have some decisions to make. Jared Goff's entering a contract year. They're going to have some young guys that eventually they're going to have to pay in the next couple years. So the Lions are going to have to try to cash in now while, you know, strike while the iron's hot.
Okay, we were wrapping up. My final question for you is, what was your reaction to Dan Quinn being named the head coach of the Commanders?
I was somewhat surprised. I thought it was underwhelming. You know, they went from Ron Rivera to Dan Quinn. It's almost
I don't
like
think the fan
thing.
Base is rejoicing either.
No, I don't think so.
It's pretty quiet.
And a large part of it, too, is when you look back, I think it's the last 5 Super Bowls were two offensive coaches meeting up. The last, I think it's 6 NFC championships were offensive coaches meeting up. And Dan Quinn's a defensive guy. So I think nowadays you're better off going the offensive route instead of the retread defensive coach. But we'll see if it works out for the Commanders.
Hey, check him out. Luke Mario, host of Mario on the Mic, right here exclusively at Sports Map Radio Network. We will step aside and be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, powered by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive, they save nearly $700 on average. And our NFL news and notes does continue here in Hour 1 as we preview Super Bowl 58. We are thrilled to have back with us Michael Lombardi. He is the former general manager, 3-time Super Bowl-winning NFL executive after 30 years working for a number of teams, the Patriots, the 49ers, the Raiders, and the Browns. And Michael, it's your first time on the program in 2024. It's good to have you back. How are you?
Thank you. It's good to be back. I appreciate you having me.
We've got a lot of ground to cover, and before we preview Super Bowl 58, you know what it takes to win at the highest level. As I just mentioned, three-time Super Bowl winning executive, you spent many years with the Patriots, and I think one of the biggest storylines that has been talked about this week and discussed is Bill Belichick, and that he was not hired in this cycle. So how surprising is it that he did not land a job?
I think it was really surprising. The fact is, you know, when you have a coach as great as this coach is,
yeah,
to have him available and really only one team show any interest in him, kind of surprising. But it is partly the NFL. It's the collaborative mindset that goes into this, that people are intimidated by knowledge. They don't want somebody who's going to be overriding all the authority in the building. And I think, to me, you know, it's a sad commentary on the NFL that the greatest coach of all time isn't working because of everybody wants to be more collaborative than actually win.
Do you see a youth movement taking place in coaching right now in the NFL and kind of going away from that old school philosophy and approach to the game?
Well, you know, yes and no. I see teams trying to try it, but I see teams in the Super Bowl that don't have, they have an old school mentality, which mm-hmm. is credibility, which is accountability, work hard, demanding, get the players to play at a higher level. I think, to me, that's always going to be the mindset. That's never going away. That's time immemorial. How to win in the NFL is not changing. Now, you know, how you get there, sometimes I think it may change. But for me, I think we have a little bit of a softer mentality in the NFL right now. We want, you know, the players kind of want to have a little bit of an NBA way with them. And I think there are some people that are willing to do that. However, that being said, the teams that have winning, they're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. How has today's player changed, Michael?
Well, I think, you know, obviously it comes down to, you know, we are in a world that is very eye-centric, you know. The art of creating team, the we, has become harder and harder because of the eye. And so you have to do that. But I think at the end of the day, people really want, they want to have a team. They really want to have a team. And so I think, you know, when you see that and when you get players that want to buy into that, like Michigan did this year in college football, that
right.
was all about we. Mm-hmm. You know, and this year, I think the way Kansas City changed their offense, it's all about we. So that being said, it can definitely happen.
He is a three-time Super Bowl winner, former NFL general manager Michael Lombardi with us at Sports Map Radio. Give him a follow on X or Twitter, at M. Lombardi, NFL. And you've spent time around Bill Belichick. So what is it like to work with him? And it's just, as I said, we were talking about, I mean, it's surprising that he didn't get hired. You had, what, six vacancies in the NFL. How in the world did this happen?
Well, you know, he's one of the best people to ever work with because you'll learn the most football from him.
Sure.
Because he's really smart at football and he understands the game and he gets it. And so I think for me, I learned so much from him, from Al Davis and those people. So for it was a great learning experience and a great working experience. And, you know, he's receptive to ideas. He's receptive to being challenged. He wants to hear what could help us win, because at the end of the day, he's about winning. He's not about who's in control.
Mm-hmm. Well, another coach we've got to talk about, you just touched on Michigan, and that is Jim Harbaugh, as he was officially introduced as the new head coach of the Chargers, a five-year, $90 million contract on Thursday. And so talk to me, Michael. I mean, what are your expectations for him in year one?
Well, I think it's really a great situation for him because he really is the perfect fit for what they have to do. He's the perfect fit. I mean, he is tough. He's physically and mentally tough. He's competitive. And those are the two things the Chargers really were lacking in. And I think he's going to make them a much better team.
And listening at his to his press conference, I mean, what stood out? What were some of those takeaways?
Just that. I mean, he understands how to build a team. He always has. He accepts the challenge, and he's got competitive stamina. He's never going to stop working. He's never going to stop trying to compete, and that's going to transcend a team that really struggled to win close games last year.
And so what do you think is that top priority for him in year one when you talk about changing that culture?
Making the team tougher, having more detail, the fundamentals, techniques, making it harder on the players. Practice execution has to become game reality, and I think that's ultimately what he'll do.
Hey, we're going to get you ready for Super Bowl 58, going one-on-one with Michael Lombardi, former NFL general manager, three-time Super Bowl winner, and you know what it takes for the regular season success and for that to carry over into postseason play. So what is that key? Can you kind of share that for our listeners?
Well, I think the key to success in any playoff game is being able to convert the third and shorts into first downs, right? Mm-hmm. Third and one, fourth and one, get them into first downs. And ultimately, that's always going to decide the game. Who can do that is really the key.
And as we look into the Michael Lombardi crystal ball, how do you see this one playing out with the Chiefs and the 49ers? Because the Super Bowl odds have NFC champion, the 49ers, as this year's favorite.
Well, I think the Chiefs are playing the better football right now, and I think they're hard to move away from. I think they're really good, and I think they've done a great job of adapting their team to what they have to do and understanding how they have to win. So I'm leaning towards the Chiefs. I still have another few days before I have to pick the game,
yeah.
So I'll stay Chiefs here.
Uh-huh.
I'm leaning towards the Chiefs right now.
Well, and you can certainly understand why, because what Patrick Mahomes, he's playing his best football right now and will make his fourth Super Bowl start in Las Vegas, the most of any quarterback before the age of 30. Will he eventually be the greatest of all time? Just kind of quantify just what he has been able to accomplish in such a short period of time, Michael.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, it's remarkable, right, how he did it. Like Brady, they kind of – great players have a tendency to become great quickly, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And he's going to continue being great because he's selfless. He wants to win more than anything.
And when you evaluate talent, I mean, what did you anticipate that he would be this good when we think back to his days in Lubbock, Texas, at Texas Tech?
I mean, obviously Brett Veach saw him that way. You know, I was kind of falling all over head over heels with Deshaun Watson. So he was – You know, he obviously set the stage, so it's been great. I mean, look, that's the great skill about scouting, is to be able to project the player forward.
Well, we hit on Mahomes. We got to get your take on a Brock Purdy, and we've discussed it a lot right here in Hour 1. Why does it seem like everyone's kind of hesitate to fully celebrate and to fully embrace just what he has been able to do in only his second year as a starter? I mean, he's an amazing young man.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Everybody loves a great story, except for some reason they don't love the Purdy story. We all love success stories in America, but to me, I think it's remarkable. This kid has done everything that he's been asked to do, everything that people fall in love with. And so I don't know if it's people jealous because Trey Lance didn't get the job and the 49ers invested so much into him, but I think it's pretty clear that, you know, he's done everything he's needed to do, and he's been great at doing it.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Michael Lombardi has been our very special guest, former NFL general manager, three-time Super Bowl winner. His second book was published just in 2023 in September, and he was on our program. So why don't you share for our listeners what they will find when they open it up? It is titled Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on the Coaches, Players, and History of the NFL.
Well, it's a book about how everything kind of started. It's a book about how the NFL was made, the coaching trees, the impact of television, the top 100 players. It's really a walk down. If you like history, it's a walk down a lane that hasn't really been talked enough about. And I think the players that have come before us, some of the great ones, I think it's truly important that we know who they are and mm-hmm. we study them and respect them, and how this game became so great has a lot to do with a lot of those people I wrote about in the book.
You know, Michael, I say it's your second book, but your first book was The Gridiron Genius. I got to get a copy of this. It's a masterclass in winning championships and building dynasties in the NFL. What did you share?
Well, that book was really – I didn't really write that book. I lived that book. That book was my experience working with Coach Walsh, Coach Belichick, Al Davis, and all the great people that I learned leadership from. So that to me was what I really valued. And it's a football book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a culture book in disguise. It's really a book about culture.
You have lived truly the ultimate journey. My final question for you is, how did you get your big break into the business? What's a little bit about your background you could share?
I always wanted to be in football, and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. A scout came through and said Coach Walsh was looking for somebody to be an intern at the Gopher, and I was just the man for the job. So I got to learn at an early age. I said yes. I took a chance, and you know, I followed my dream. I did exactly what Bruce Springsteen was singing to me on the radio. I was going to cross Highway 9.
Uh-huh. The title of his book, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on the Coaches, Players, and the History of the NFL. You can go anywhere online and get a copy. Always a true pleasure when we have the opportunity to catch up with Michael Lombardi. Give him a follow on social media at MLombardiNFL. True pleasure. Thank you, Michael, and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back after this quick break.